Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you once again, and this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And today we have sitting in the studio here is Clark Block, and a good friend of mine, great help, and Pastor Al Davis and of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And I believe we have an interesting program, and this program is upholding the Word of God. We have a lot of people that putting it down, but we are here to uphold it, and we believe that God has given us the King James Bible as the perfect Word of God. Also, I'm so glad to be on the new station that we're on that's covering much of Central Ohio. And then we were on, Colombia, South America, Albania, and we had mentioned it before, but I guess we're on in Brazil. And so we just thank the Lord. All over the world, people are listening to this program. We had recently nearly 4,000 people that contacted the program. And so I thank God for that. And I ask you folks that believe in prayer, you pray for the program, that God will use it, will say the right things that He wants us to say, and that God's Holy Spirit will use these words to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have Pastor Al Davis here, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he has a wonderful section called Science in the Bible, and so I'm giving it to him right now.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And also, since Thanksgiving is coming up, I certainly want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. As believers, as Christians, we certainly have more to be thankful for than anybody, don't we? Since we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we have that precious gift of salvation that we can be thankful for. But I want to mention, too, before I get into the Science and the Bible segment here, that to remind you that you can check out the website for the program, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. There's information about Bruce Musselman there. There's also past programs there and some links to some of the materials and things that Bruce references from time to time. And that's at whereisgodsword.com. Well, looking at science in the Bible today, I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach today. I've seen some things recently talking about how that there's a signature of God inside of the structure of human beings and all animals as well. And it's a little molecule, a protein molecule called laminin. And maybe some of our listeners have heard about laminin. Laminin is a protein molecule that actually exists primarily outside of the cells, but it serves to hold the cells together. And that keeps them all apart. You know, you think about the cells that make up your liver, for instance. What keeps them all together? Why doesn't the part of your liver slide away, you know, down to where your kidneys are or something? And this little protein molecule called laminin holds all this together. Now, some people have gotten really excited about it, and there are several articles and videos online about laminin, and they claim that it is the signature of God in the cells. The reason for it is when you represent laminin in a diagram, and you diagram the various parts of this protein, and you can see this not just in Christian sources, but in secular sources, you can see a diagram of laminin that's in the shape of an object that has three short arms and one long arm. Now, the way they do that to represent it in the textbooks and in scientific papers is the perfect shape of a cross. And so a lot of people point to that and say, well, there's a signature of God inside of the structure of human beings. And they'll cite frequently Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 17, and because I like to keep things in context, I'm going to start reading in verse number 15, which is where the sentence starts. And I've said this before. One of the reasons I use the King James Version of the Bible is it preserves the Word of God in our language. And these modern versions break up complex sentences into shorter, choppier sentences, and you lose the continuity and you lose track of what's actually being taught in the verse or in the passage. But in this passage here, Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 15, it says, I got to look up a little bit further here. We've got to go all the way up. I didn't go up far enough here. I'm looking at my Bible, and I got my eyes crossed. And we need to go over the other column on my page here. In Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 9, the Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with all with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Now, that was one long sentence, wasn't it? If I'd have turned that in when I was in high school or college in an English project, my teacher would have written back on their run-on sentence. But this is the way God's Word is written. These long sentences, and it's talking, it's starting out talking about knowledge and wisdom to understand all that, and walking worthy in the Lord, and unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing knowledge of God. And so this is all for our knowledge, for our understanding. And when it comes down to the last part of that sentence in verse 17, Colossians 1, verse 17, it makes a statement, "And he," referring obviously to Jesus Christ, "is before all things, and by him all things consist." So we're talking about all of this that we've read about in this long sentence, all consist really because of Jesus Christ, and not just everything in the universe and everything in the world, but all things, all knowledge, everything consists in Christ. Now, modern versions, and of course, keeping with the theme of program here, Bruce, where is God's Word? Modern versions have broken this long sentence up into several sentences, and they chop out verse 17 there into one little short sentence. And that sentence, they change the words, and it says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." You don't know really what they're talking about there, because it ruins the thought that's there. And it's not hold together, that all this stuff goes together, and it says he's before all things, and by him all things consist, not just hold together. It's by him all things consist. And so they use this little molecule, a laminin, in the shape of a cross, and it does have a cross shape on the molecular level, and it does hold all things together with us. There's something more here than just being held together. We consist, our very being consists because of Jesus Christ. Our salvation consists because of Jesus Christ. Everything that we know, all scientific knowledge and understanding, all theological knowledge and understanding consists in Christ. It's not held together by him. It consists by him. We wouldn't have scientific knowledge if it weren't for Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have the knowledge of salvation if it weren't for Jesus Christ. He doesn't just hold it together. He provides the very basis for it to consist. And so even though, as much as I would love to be able to use laminin as a scientific proof of God's Word being truthful and say, "Look, here's this cross that holds everything together." No, it's through the cross that we consist. And it's more than just being held together. We consist because of Jesus Christ. In fact, in that sentence, in the middle of that sentence, verse 15 said that he was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, which is defined in the next sentence, which starts in verse 18, where it says, and he, meaning Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, meaning Jesus, as we were talking earlier, is the firstborn of every creature in the resurrection, in the new creation. And he's not the first created creature. No, he didn't. God didn't create him. He is God. And so God didn't create him and use Jesus to hold everything together. Jesus is God, and everything consists because God created it. And Jesus is God, so all things consist because of God. We might be tempted to look at some things and say, this is proof of the Bible. We're going to use this. But we need to be careful when we're using the translations, the mistranslations that mistranslate the Word of God and break up these sentences and ruin the teaching of the Word of God. We can do this. And, you know, a lot of people in the secular world, they'll see that. And if they point out the error, then it seems to undercut our premise that we're using to try and prove the Word of God. But the fact of the matter is, we don't need to prove the Word of God, do we? You know, there's the old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The real truth of the matter is, God said it, that settles it. And Jesus had told the people that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. We don't need a sign to prove the Bible, but scientific accuracy does prove the Bible. It gives us reason to believe this. And so we need to be careful that we don't take things too far and use, for instance, laminin as a central proof that the Bible is the Word of God. I think it's something that does indicate, you know, Bible truth. There are things that hold us together, but this passage doesn't talk about being held together. It talks about what makes everything consist, and it's through Jesus Christ and Christ alone that all things consist. Not a protein molecule, but Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it does say in another place, it says, He, Jesus, upholdeth all things by the word of his power. You know,
amen. So,
He is a powerful God, isn't he?
Amen.
Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so that's our job. I always enjoy your reports. I think they're very interesting, and I appreciate you doing this on this program. We're here to uphold the King James, the Bible in general, and the King James in particular. And people, sometimes they don't see why we do this. Well, let's take Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Here's a very well-known verse. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We just looked at an NIV, didn't we, Brother Al?
Right.
And it said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, but it let out Christ, didn't it?
You'd like me to read? I'll look that up here. Give me just a moment here.
I'm not, most of the modern versions take out, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They take out Christ out of that passage. What's the NIV
say
there?
All right. They say here in verse Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So it just says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yes. Well, it's the gospel of Christ. And,
right.
And so that is extremely important, a very, very important scripture verse, and yet Christ is taken out. And the fact of the matter is that Christ, the Lord, the names of Jesus, Lord Jesus and Christ, have been taken out of most of the modern versions in 100 places in the New Testament. And that's why we have this program, and there is no good reason why they should be taken out. And one of the problems is that many unsaved people have been influencing the translations of the modern versions. Now, some of the translators, many of them may be professing Christians, and yet they're using lexicons, which is a Greek-English dictionary put together by unsaved people. You know, by the way, I have a book here, and I think that every preacher, because this is the problem of our time. The devil attacks the Bible in different ways in different periods of time. But now he's attacking the text, what they call textual history, and also through the modern versions. And the person that wrote that book, New Age Bible Versions, it shows in that book the thousands of changes that have been made and the implications of the changes. But then the same writer has written a book called Hazardous Materials, in which they're showing who is putting these things out and who is writing the lexicons. Many of them Unitarians. Many of them, and probably most of them, they don't even believe that the Holy Spirit gave us the Scripture in the first place. And the problem today, you hear preachers constantly correcting the King James, and they're correcting it with these lexicons or corrupt text. They don't even know where the correction comes from. Sometimes they're following a person that is using these corruptions. And it is one of the major problems, the attack on the Bible today, when thousands of words have been changed in these modern versions. They are not, the modern versions of the Bible, they are not just an updating of the King James words. Under the name of updating the Bible, they have introduced all kinds of changes and thousands of heresies. And so I have a book here that, let me see, it is nearly 1,137 pages long, and it's almost like an encyclopedia, but it's very, very interesting reading. And it's all put in such a way that it's divided into sections. And you can find, you can look things up in this book, and it tells you the beliefs of the people that are putting out these lexicons. That is a Greek-English dictionary. And they're, you know, a lot of times a young man goes in and they're supposed to be going to a Bible-believing school. And so they start to study Greek. And I have noticed a pattern. First of all, and I remember when I took Greek in the college that I took it in, they never told us where the Greek text came from. Isn't that amazing? You're studying a Greek text for a couple of years, and I was talking to one preacher, and he said, well, I believe in original Greek. I said, what Greek text are you using? He had studied Greek for 4 years at a leading fundamental school. When I asked him what Greek text he was using, and somebody has counted 666 different Greek texts, he didn't even know which text he was using after 4 years of studying Greek. And this is a common pattern. Who's putting these corrupt Greek texts out? Who's putting these corrupt lexicons out? And right here, it's documented, and it's these people are quoted. The people that are putting this stuff out, it's quoting them. And in so many cases, I have here some chapter headings, the textual heresies of F.H. Scrivener. The Trinitarian Bible Society's Little Leaven, Scribner's Greek Textus Receptus, Wary of George Ricker Berry. And so this stuff is documented. It's all written out. It's quoting these individuals. And so many of them were Unitarians. For instance, one book that you all have, and it's okay to look up things in it, and I've got one at home, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. But the dictionary that Strong has, Mr. Strong was on a committee that put out the American Standard Version of 1901. And in there, they have a footnote that says that the worship given to Jesus by the blind man was the worship given to the creature and not to the creator. He was on the committee, and you're reading definitions by a person that denies that Jesus was on a committee that denied Jesus was God. And that's why these thousands of changes have been made. Now, we just mentioned, here's a key scripture. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel is Christ died for our sins. Who is Christ? Christ was God taking on a human body. And this is all through the scripture. And he died for our sins. And this is the most fundamental teaching in the Bible. It's the whole Bible talks about this from cover to cover. When he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and you can go to Jerusalem and see the place of the skull where he died. It's a Muslim cemetery right now. And when he died on that cross, he was punished for every sin you ever committed. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will meet God without any record that you have ever sinned. And I tell you, this Thanksgiving, no matter what your problem is, or you may be in debt, you may be sick, you might have cancer, you might have anything, but I tell you, if you have that, if you know that you are saved, if you know that you are a child of God, you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your God and as your Savior, if you have done that, the moment you die, you will go to heaven without any record of your sin, and the Bible says you'll meet God in great joy. So that's something that we can thank God about. Now, in this scripture here, I want to read some passage. And Paul says that when he came to them, and it's found in the book of Romans, and it's also found in 1 Corinthians, and he said, I came not to you with the words of man's wisdom. And this is very important. Man's wisdom is philosophy. The word philosophy is made up of two words, philo and sophistry. It means man's wisdom. And Paul states this in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, I came not speaking to you with man's wisdom, but with the preaching of the gospel. And then he said, in this chapter, he said that he did not use the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. When we preach, we're not using philosophical arguments. We're using, when we preach, the simple word of God, the power of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ, who is God, paid the penalty and in a human body died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. But it says here, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then it goes on, as it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now, the Greeks at that time were actually fanatical about human philosophy or wisdom. And God was against it. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. So it says, the Jews seek a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto us which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So, the Bible teaches that us that the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this chapter, he states here in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. It says we're to all speak the same thing. Now, sometimes on radio and television, you have some well-known Bible teachers, and they're recommending a new version about every other year. And so you have all kinds of Bibles that have thousands of words that are changed. In Saudi Arabia, in college over there, they teach the Muslims that Christians have many Bibles, but they only have one. And Muslims have said that to me numbers of times. Well, I'll tell you, we only have one. It's the authorized King James Bible. You know, God said the Holy Spirit works through that. Billy Sunday, who is a Bible-believing Christian and believed the King James Bible is the Word of God, he went to New York City and had 123,000 conversions to Jesus Christ. Whitfield preached out of a King James as well as Billy Sunday, and it turned America upside down. This is the Bible that God uses. This is the one that's the power of God. And people are correcting it on the radio. They're changing it. They're using all kinds of Bibles. But we have God's Word today coming down from the apostles. And when the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. And we need to trust in God's Word. We have it in the King James Bible. God bless
you. You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.